A reading from the Gospel according to Luke. The people were filled with expectation, and all were asking in their hearts whether John might be the Christ. John answered them all, saying, "I am baptizing you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. I am not worthy to loosen the thongs of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire." After all the people had been baptized, and Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased." Over the last couple weeks in the Advent and Christmas seasons, we have heard many names given to Jesus to help us begin to wrestle with the true identity of this one who is wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. A quick search through the lectionary readings we've been listening to, and these names jump off the page. Ruler of the house of Jacob, Emmanuel, Messiah, Lord, Word made flesh, Light of the Gentiles, Glory of Israel, Prince, Shepherd of God's people. As we close the season, however, we hear one last name in today's gospel, one last key to unlocking Jesus' identity. We've heard who he is to us. Now we hear who he is to God. He is beloved. He is Son. Names are an interesting thing. It's always an interesting conversation to debate the power of a name. We always say that we're not the same as our names, that what people call us doesn't really matter. Would my life be radically different if from birth my parents had named me Colleen, as my dad wanted, instead of Anne? Or if they'd named me Buffy or Matilda? All are fine names, but would I have become someone different than who I am? It's hard to tell. We certainly continue to become more aware of the effects of name calling on the self-esteem of children, how the label stupid can haunt a person long after it's last applied. Names do shape us in a mysterious way as we become what it is that we're called. Now, many of the names attributed to Jesus in the infancy narratives that we've focused on so prominently in the last few weeks, we know were probably applied to him after he died and rose. These infancy narratives were the last parts of the gospel written, the fruit of much reflection by various disciples about the true identity of this man in their midst. And they were applied by others to describe the Jesus they had experienced. The gospel today, though, gives us insight into how Jesus possibly experienced himself as named. The event of Jesus' baptism by John is one of only a handful of stories that all four of the gospels share in common. And while each gospel tells it slightly differently, just the fact that it's included by all the evangelists tells us that the experience must have been a central one in Jesus' life. It's unclear how much of the event was external and witnessed by others, and how much was internal, was just Jesus' own experience. In Matthew, that voice booms, "This is my beloved Son," as if all could hear. But in Luke and Mark, the voice is more intimate. "You are my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." Of all the names that we've heard given to Jesus over the last couple weeks, this alone seems to be the one that he heard himself. That one that whispered and boomed and echoed throughout his whole life. The one that shaped his whole person. The one that formed him into who he would become. "You are my beloved Son." Would Jesus have been Jesus without this name? Without this knowledge, without this experience? We can imagine no. The infancy narratives reveal several epiphany events in which Jesus' true identity was made known to others. The story of Christ's baptism seems to reveal the epiphany event in which Jesus' true identity became known to himself. I am the beloved Son of God. And we can imagine that Jesus' baptism shaped his whole worldview, that it affected everything, the work that he would take on, the way that he interacted with people, what he preached, eventually the way that he would die. That knowledge of his belovedness, of his sonship, gave him the courage and conviction to pick up the cross, kept him faithful to the end. And this was the man, the beloved one, that God raised from the dead. We could say that beloved is the name above all other names, which led to us calling him by so many names. But it's not his name alone. For in baptism, each of us was called beloved by God. Each one of us was called child. For each one of us, the sky is rent and the Spirit descends. But have you heard? You've come out of the water, but do you believe that voice? Do you truly believe the divine smiles down on you with affection, delights in your very being? Do you really know this, not just in your head, but in your gut? And are you letting that love form you? Is it shaping the way you look at the world? Is it determining your every activity, your every interaction? Is it giving you courage? Is it giving you hope? And is it giving you strength to pick up that cross and stare death in the eye and trust God's faithfulness? As you start a new year, what would it look like to take a moment each day upon waking to remember your own baptism, like Jesus must have daily remembered his? And to remember that God is still looking on you with great affection, speaking the name Beloved. For it's your name also, the one meant to transform your life.